Welcome to On Our Watch, a podcast about coastal erosion and sustainability in Louisiana, as well as the implications for coastal systems worldwide. My name is Marion Evans. I'm a filmmaker and a producer of the documentary On Our Watch, a feature-length film about Louisiana's coastal land loss crisis. The film's director, Jonathan Evans, and I are proud to produce this podcast series that will continue to explore important coastal issues through conversations with local residents, community leaders, and experts. In this episode, we're speaking with Hallie Parker. Hallie is the Coastal Desk Reporter for WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, where she reports on a wide range of environmental and climate-based issues. And now, our interview with Hallie Parker.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Hallie.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I wanted to ask how you originally got into environmental journalism, and was this something that you always wanted to do?
Yeah. So I actually, when I started out thinking about, I've always wanted to be a journalist ever since like high school. I got really into it. I used to really love writing, and then I learned about the ethics of journalism, and I'm like, seek truth. Yeah, I'm all about that. And also, I just believe in like the power of information to hopefully change minds and help make a difference in the world. But when I first started out, I was really interested in like social justice issues. Human rights, I had like big dreams of being a foreign correspondent or something like that, reporting on famine. And then I got my first journalism job out of college, and I was covering this very like rural parish in Virginia. And a lot of my beat was about agriculture. And so I was talking to a lot of farmers, and they were going through this like super unpredictable year that was super rainy. And they were just like, I don't know what's happening here. You know, they're grappling with the climate crisis without actually wanting to talk about the climate crisis necessarily. But that, even though they weren't saying the words climate change, that made me kind of like reflect and be like, I knew about climate change, I believe in climate change, but I don't think I fully understood just how significant of a role it would play in our lives for generations from now, especially when I was just trying to figure out what my journalism career would look like. I realized that I wanted to enter the environment space and also look at the intersection of people and the environment, and kind of bring my interest in social justice together with this huge issue that affects everyone and touches everybody's life.
Right. That's so interesting because, yeah, when you think about climate change and environmental issues, it's not just like this one-note issue. It really affects so many things.
Yeah.
What do you think is unique about the Louisiana coast in particular in terms of environmental reporting?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I've only really reported on the environment beat on Louisiana's coast, but I hadn't left, and that's because it's just like, it has everything going on here. I think that Louisiana is just like, I don't know, we talk about gumbo all the time, right? And it's just this, it's also a gumbo of environmental issues. You have sinking land on the coast, you have rising seas, you have a ton of environmental pollution that's always ripe to be discussed. You have indigenous tribes, you have climate justice. There's just so many things that Louisiana could be considered like the epicenter of. Like it's a great place to be able to talk about these issues that are happening in other places, but maybe aren't happening in such like a concentrated way.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me a little bit about the work that you do here at WWNO, and what does a typical day look like for you working here?
What does a typical day look like? It really varies. So no day is ever the same. There will be some days where I'm like working on like a quick spot about some breaking news that happened, like with our new governor making some sort of decision about coastal legislation or something like that. Or maybe I'll be working on a long-term project and have a lot of interviews planned with some cool scientists or really cool energy analysts, which you would not usually expect, but they are really fun to talk to. It's really a mixed bag. It kind of just depends.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. That's mm-hmm. fun though.
Yeah.
What is your approach to storytelling when it comes to communicating these complex environmental and climate issues to the public in a way that people can understand?
Yeah. It's so funny because I was just talking to like a group of students a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to them about storytelling specifically, especially because this was like a group of like designers, future landscape architects, future engineers, that sort of thing. And they don't usually get to talk a lot about like how you actually communicate with people. And so something that I told them that I think is like very core to how I approach journalism is just like you have to center people. I think for me, like human-centered storytelling is how you start to make people really grasp kind of like the scope of what's going on here and also what the stakes are. Hopefully that can bring up some like emotion, some sort of like pathos that helps you kind of helps just like the stakes really sink in.
Right. Something to like connect to on mm-hmm. a personal level.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you decide on what you're going to report on next? And is there something that you're looking for when you're researching a story?
Huh. It's so funny, because I was thinking about this and I feel like my stories can kind of come from anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think especially when I was starting out, my stories would probably come from like different conversations that I've had with people that I'm just meeting, figuring out what's on people's minds that I could help either explain or add more context to, or just actually answer the question of what is going on and do a little investigating. But then there's also, of course, like really smart people in my emails and they're sending me story ideas and sometimes those are wonderful. I think now I just have such a long list of story ideas that I don't even really have to go search for them. They're just all banked up and I'm just waiting for the time to be able to go out there and do it.
Right. There's like no shortage of things to talk about.
Exactly.
And then just keeping your eyes and ears open for what you hear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. What do you think are some of the most important, in your opinion, coastal issues going on in Louisiana right now that maybe not everyone has their eye on?
Yeah, so something that's really top of mind for me right now is just this giant gas expansion that's actually happening on along our coastline. There are several plants that are proposed that would take the gas that is drilled in the U.S. that's usually, you know, going into maybe I have a gas stove, so it's going to my gas stove. But now some of that gas is going and being exported overseas. And that's what these plants are for, to be able to actually... It's pretty complicated the way that gas has to be kind of compressed and like turned almost to liquid in order to ship it out to get it to other countries. But that's what those plants are doing. And we've seen some new plants come online. We've seen plants come under construction. And there's a big question in terms of like how many of these plants are needed and how much gas we should be sending overseas. And so that's something that I think that it gets really wonky. It's already getting wonky as I'm talking about it right now. And so I think that it can be hard for the public to kind of like wrap their heads around this issue and if it even matters. But really, like these plants and this development has the potential to like transform our coast for lifetimes to come. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, they're being built on coastlines that are consistently affected by hurricanes and under peril from those. But not only that, it's also happening in the context of climate change. And there's the potential for the gas from these plants to actually hinder our ability to limit climate change, which is deeply affecting everyone's lives in Louisiana. That's something that I think that more people are recognizing nowadays and kind of just feeling personally in their own lives, the different things that are changing in our environment. And that has the potential to get like a lot worse with some of these plants and with this development, especially if the build out were to go as far as some of the gas industry has planned to do it. Well, especially if this build out goes as far as the gas industry would like it to.
Okay. Interesting. So that's kind of like your main focus right now.
Yeah, that is what I'm hyper focused on right now.
What would you say that you like most about your job?
You know, I get to learn about things that I would not normally have any idea about. I love that I get to talk to people who are way smarter than me all the time and have them explain this stuff and really just like share their knowledge. For me, I'm like a pretty curious person, so any opportunity to learn something new is like a good day. And I mean, I'm also a very shy person. I think that sometimes journalists who are shy, I don't know how we get into this because we have to talk to people all the time. But there's always that day where I have like an amazing interview with someone that just fills me with like inspiration and wonderful feelings about the future of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is really what keeps me going with all of this.
Yeah. You're not only learning yourself, but you're also informing so many people that wouldn't otherwise know. Are there any important lessons that you've learned so far in your environmental reporting career?
Spell people's names right.
Number one.
Yes. But I would also say that I've learned how easy it is to get to feel depressed about everything that's going on in our world and how quickly things are changing. And just kind of all the unknowns that are out there right now. I know that I feel it in my personal life, and I also hear it when I'm talking to people. But even amid all of those feelings of uncertainty and despair, potentially, hopefully you're not slipping down into that area, but you know, potentially, that even with all of this, there is reason to stay hopeful and keep fighting, I want to say. I think sometimes it's hard to hear that from a journalist, and it's hard for journalists to say, but we are in a battle right now when it comes to our coast, when it comes to our world. And I guess I've just learned that it's not helpful to kind of put my head in the sand, my head in the sand. And it is just like a show of strength to be able to keep moving forward and keep contributing to helping our world and making it better as much as possible.
I think that's a really good point. How do you incorporate that into your reporting? You know, do you think about that consciously, like to not depress people too much, or like balancing that in some way?
Yes. Well, especially over the past couple of years, because I don't know how everybody else is feeling out there, but I've been overwhelmed, especially by news coverage. So I know that there needs to be some lightness out there, and that's in the form of solutions. Like just 2 weekends ago, I went to go see this these two islands that are being built out of both regular Mississippi River sand, but also recycled glass sand. And that's a community-led initiative that's happening with this organization called Glass Half Full. And that was just super exciting and thrilling to see. You know, it's like, it's invigorating to see people taking action and coming up with creative solutions to help where they grew up.
What are some misconceptions that people have about the coast, do you think?
Oh, that is a good one. You know, I think that something that's really fascinated me since I moved to Louisiana is honestly just how smart everyone is and how savvy they are about this coast. I think that comes from just like the passion and the cultural ties that come with living here. But like, I'm amazed that people actually understand the fact that the Mississippi River was levied off decades ago, and that has led to the land loss crisis that we're seeing today. But I think that sometimes the Mississippi River levy aspect of that gets a little bit too much credit, and that can sometimes lead to people discounting the role of sea level rise and climate change and how that is contributing to the loss of our wetlands and marsh that we need as a buffer against hurricanes. I think there's also the aspect of oil and gas exploration that can sometimes get lost in that too. So just to say that, like, I think there are a ton of very smart, savvy Louisiana residents, but just recognizing that there are some other factors going on. There's some larger factors that can't necessarily be only solved by the river, just by building up new marshes. There are some systemic factors that we need to address here too, like bringing down greenhouse gas emissions to fix climate change.
Right, like this is an ongoing problem. The levees were one part of it, but there's a lot more to the story.
Yeah, and I have one other one. I don't know if this exactly fits, but I'd say something else that has really, that I've really started to grasp and wrap my head around too since living here is just like the term resilience. And I think that that's a big word on our coast. And I think that what people, I don't even know that this is for the people of Louisiana, but what people outside of Louisiana might not understand about our coast is that people can't just be resilient without help, without the infrastructure, without the public support needed. They can't just, they have been just bouncing back through sheer will, but that is tiring. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting. And there needs to be a change in that sense, just in terms of the larger scope of how our country operates and who we're supporting and how we help people come back after disasters. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Hallie. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Marian.
Thank you for listening to On Our Watch. We hope you enjoyed our discussion with Hallie Parker. Don't forget to subscribe to On Our Watch on your favorite podcast app to be notified about future episodes. You can find our feature-length documentary, On Our Watch, as well as a video version of today's episode, in the links below. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back with another episode next week. This podcast is made possible through support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation and executive produced by Bruno UK Steiner.